Blog Talk Radio.
Area code is 347
637-1074. And for those who are going to be listening by internet, you can go to harvestnewlifechurch.com, go to schedules and services, and look just in between. You'll see a Blog Talk Radio icon. Click on that icon, that'll bring you into the studio. For those of you who are coming into the studio, it's going to be calling on the line for the end of the studio. Ask any questions during the course of this show. You just push the number one button, and it'll fire you up, and we'll get to you here in the times that we're teaching about this word. Well, let's not get started. Let's go ahead and get started, with this teaching tonight, dealing with authority that's within you. And the Word of God does declare that when we speak a word, that when we speak a word out of our mouth, it's got the power to manifest everything that God has declared to be. We're going to be over in the book of 1 Corinthians, and we're going to be over in the second chapter. And we're going to start this off right around the ninth verse, but we're going to focus from 12 down to 15. There's some really, really, very good stuff in here. As you continue to take our time, we're going to read it, and we're going to hear what thus say the Lord hath to say on this afternoon. First of all, let's get started in prayer so we can bind that slew foot devil and get him out of our way. We can move and let this power of the Spirit continue to dwell in us. Father God, we thank you. We welcome you into our homes. We welcome you to our households. We welcome you to our life. Father God, we declare the word. We decree it. We speak it according to the kingdom. We know, Father God, according to your will, your purpose, and your power, you have made a plan according to Jeremiah 29:11. You said that you already made a plan. You already made the path for us, Father God, according to Psalms 3:5. In the name of Jesus, I feel a spirit moving already, that even as we not lean to our own understanding, but acknowledge you in all the ways, you direct our path. You said that the work that you have for us is a good work. You said the future you have for us is a great future. So, Father God, we declare your word. We decree it. We speak it. We call it been done. We call it been manifest by the power of the revelatorial and revelation knowledge of God. These things we speak not of ourselves, but in the name of the power of the Most High God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we speak the blood over every word on this episode concerning tonight's that we're about to bring forth. Let's get started, ladies and gentlemen. Say once again, I am Pastor Charles Ellis here at Harvest New Life Church here in the city of Dallas, and you're listening to on tonight Power of the Harvest broadcast. It's going to be a very extraordinary show. It's going to be some power-packed information that we all can use in our lives. So let's go ahead without any further delay and get started on this word, and let's hear what thus the Lord has to say. For those of you who turn over 1 Corinthians over in the second chapter, and let's look at the ninth verse, and let's look at the things that God has spoken to our lives. We understand and realize that he's got the plan for us. He said, but it is written that eyes have not seen nor ears have heard. Now, not his entering into the heart of any man, the thing that God has prepared for those who love him. Now, this is a very interesting chapter, right? This is a very interesting verse right here, because now we are using it in such a way that it's just a blown and thrown out word. But we got to understand it's not a word just thrown out there. It's through the power of God. He's saying everything that I have prepared to you, according to Jeremiah 29:11, you ain't even seen it yet. You don't even know that when you speak a word, according to Isaiah 55:11, the word promotes, it goes forth. We back that same scripture up and we go to the book of Numbers 23:19-21. He said, is he a God that he shall lie? Or is he a son of a man that he has to repent? Now he does tell us that the commandment is given that he has to bless us. Now, that's his word. Now, when we created in the image of God and we're like his children, then we're the seed of Abraham. Every yield-bearing seed, according to the word of God in 2 Peter 1:3, he's given unto us. He gave us the ability to speak, according to Ephesians 4:17, to call things with the authority, with the power. He says, according to Luke 10:19, I have given you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. The word of God does decree, and he says in Ephesians 1:21, he said, it's far above, in the name of Jesus, all principalities and power and dominion. He didn't say not only named in this world, but everything that which is to come. Now notice when he says that I have given you power to tread upon serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. When we take our Bibles and you begin to take this down in your notes, we don't have time to go through it right now, but for the sake of time, because we just have to get this slot in. We want you to read what it says about your heads that God puts around you, according to Psalms 91. It tells us the fact that God said that the enemy, that you will see 1,000 fall to your left and 1,000 fall to your right, but it will not come near you. The word of God does declare in Psalms 100, it says, blessed is the man that walketh in the counsel. Am I talking to anybody? The counsel among angels, the counsel among power, the counsel among authority, the counsel among what it says in 1 Corinthians 2 and 9, that he said, your eyes have not seen, your ears have not heard. The things that I have in prepared for you, the things I have in store for you, is far more great than you can ever imagine or even understand. In other words, it's really more than what you can see. If you believe God, it's not so much about the physicality that's in front of you. It's to be these things that are unseen. And when you can mirror the things in your mind that you know that God has got the ability to do, according to Jeremiah 32 and 17, he said, is there anything, am I talking to somebody, too hard for him to do? So we believe that in our lifestyle, where we are, no matter what age you are, no matter how many failures you have in your life, God got the ability to bring you out. He has the power to lift you out of every situation that you may seem that you may be harmed in. In other words, if you're so far down and whatever you're dealing with, God said, I got the power to pump light down in your negative situation, your darkness. Bring in the power of God and bring you out of whatever it is. I don't care if it's your marriage. I don't care if it's your health. I don't care what you're dealing with. The word of God decrees and declares and decrees and decrees and declares. He said, but it is written, that means the word of God, it has been written that eyes have not seen nor ears heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man the things which what God has prepared. He's prepared a future for you. He's got a great expectation for you, for them that love him. Now, when we say we love the Lord, we obey all of his statutes and commandments. And when we obey all the statutes and commandments, we begin to turn our Bibles over to Psalms 84:11, and it tells us the truth, that no good thing that he will withhold from those who love him. According to According to Matthew 6 and 33, the seeking comes, that when we bow in prayer and we believe that when we speak with the accuracy of the tongue of the Spirit, God will pinpoint the laser beam faith that we need to move forward in every area of our life. Let's move on without delay of time. We got this time slot, so we want to use it wisely. Now, we're going to go, because we're still looking at 1 Corinthians 2, and we read the 9th, we're going to go to the 10th verse. Notice it real close. I'm going to read it through the 12th. But God has revealed them unto us, listen to this, by his what? Spirit. Now, that's John 4:24. By his Spirit. For the Spirit, not the flesh, not the education, the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deepest things what of what God. God has given to us, according to what we said again in 2 Peter 1 and 3, every yield-bearing seed, we don't lack nothing. Everything we have is already been given to us when he died on the cross. In other words, he came to give us life and have it more abundantly. We're going to move forward with that. He says over in the 11th verse, but what a man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of the man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth what no man, but the Spirit of God. Now he tested the education of these theologians, soothsayers. I would call them soothsayers. They want to hit you too hard for those who wearing a heart on their sleeves. These soothsayers. In other words, he'd deal with every kind of Pharisaic understanding and every Pharisaic teaching. So we understand that when we look at the Word of God and we believe the Word of God, we knew that when Jesus came on the scene, that he was bombarded by a bunch of Pharisees, Sadducees, Sanhedrins. These men carried the doctrine of the synagogue. Now, notice what he's saying in here. They had the education. There's nothing wrong with what they had back then. They had the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. We look at the Torah. They had Moses' writing. But what Jesus is saying, that y'all got the letter, but now I'm bringing the Spirit. Now, when he brings the Spirit, he's saying that you got a direct connection with the Father himself through me. But he goes on and speaks a very powerful word. If we flip our Bibles over to the book of John, and let's look over to the book of John, and we're going to move. Remember, we're going to stay in 1 Corinthians. We're not going to come out of 1 Corinthians 2, but we're going to flip over to the book of John, and I want to show you something here in the book of John. Such a revelatory word, such a powerful word that he brings over in John 14 as we flip our Bibles over there, and we look at the 10th verse. Notice what he says in the 10th verse of John 14 and 10. believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? He puts a question mark there. He puts something for you to chew on. He goes on and says, as he began to speak on his word, he said, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He does the work. Now, when we look at that scripture, and we're going to go on with it, we're going to chew on it a little bit more, but I want to show you something here. When we look at that word, and we think about what he's saying right there, I came as a representation of the kingdom. I came, according to Hebrews 12, as being the author and the finisher of every power source that's available to you from the kingdom. Everything that you have in the kingdom, you got it right here in front of you. I'm going to demonstrate and I'm going to show you how you walk in this authority. And he goes back over to, we flip our Bibles back over to 1 Corinthians, and we look right over there in that 11, that 2 and 11 again, 1 Corinthians 2 and 11, we look at it again, it says it like this, for no man knoweth the things of God, the things of him. In other words, let me read that again. For what a man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth what no man. Let me say something. You believe in world book. You believe in your math book. You believe in your social study book without even ever seeing the author. Well, you see, well, you know the author, but you believe in it. Now, it comes down to the word of God, which is the Bible, the living word, the true word. And Jesus came in such a way to prepare to show you that everything that he's bringing down here is through the Father. Now, you believe in a person who read from a book to cut on you, who never ever saw your insides ever before, but you believe in him. He studied the book, and he learned how to do surgical procedures, but the word of God said that he's got the power to heal you. Now, a lot of things that we deal with in the body of Christ, and I'm not saying that anybody's got a lack of faith, but they said, I hear a lot of this, take the surgery and believe God for the healing. No, let's think about this. Now, God did bring men to orchestrate the plan of the medicine and do things of that nature, but the medicine is just a jump start to get you to where you need to go. God represents the healing. Am I talking to anybody? He says like this in the 12th verse of 1 Corinthians in 2. Now I want to follow, because I'm going to go back to John in 1 Corinthians 2 and 12. He says, now we have received not the spirit of the world. In other words, Satan's spirit. In other words, you know, Satan is what? The prince of this world. We read that over in Daniel 3. That when the principality came upon him, when the prince of Persia came against him, when God was bringing a word for Daniel, the enemy tried to come in, and he began to fight, but he had to send forth Gabriel, his angel, to fight in the behalf that the word may give to you. Let me expound upon it just a little bit, not too much, because we want to move to the show. When God calls you to do a work, when you open your heart to God, and you begin to believe that the work he's doing through you has no hindrance whatsoever, according to man, God will show you the ability to move forward even in your interaction of what we will call a lack of stubbornness or a lack of ability to see naturally. In other words, he will cause that vision that he's given you to go forth despite of the opposition, despite of the people that's coming against you, despite of the things that they're saying about you. Remember this verse and remember what he says. When we take the Bible, and we go take it right back to the book of John, over in the 14th chapter, we look at the 11th verse. Now he says like this, believe it me that I am in him. Believe it that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the work's sake. Or believe me for the very work's sake. In other words, God is going to do the works through his Son. In other words, if you don't believe him and the one who sent, believe him for the works that he done. And we look at all kind of miracles that Jesus done down in the earth with the power through his Father, the raising of Lazarus, the man at the pool of Bethesda, the woman with the issue of blood, the healing of Jairus' daughter. I mean, we can go on with a plethora of scriptures and information about how the power of God worked through his Son. So be unto you that when Jesus began to leave, when he left here, he said, I'm going to leave you with a comforter. The comforter is the Holy Ghost. Now, what the Holy Ghost is going to do, it's going to lead you into all truth. And when it leads you into all truth, it gives you the ability to discern, understand with the wisdom and knowledge to know that in your life there's somebody greater. In other words, in you. The Bible declares that greater than he that is in you than he that in the world. He decrees this, meaning you got the power according to the Abrahamic covenant that has been presented to you. Matter of fact, we got something better than Abraham. We got the blood covenant. Abraham had hope. He had beliefs. He had faith. But we got the blood covenant. And we think about this in such a way that when we look at the promises of God, that when he says that in Ephesians 4 and 11, he talks about the promises that he's given us. The promises according to Ephesians 4 and 17, I'm just kind of baffled here, but I'm going to get straight here because I'm looking at something as I move forward, and I'm going to take you over there, and I'm going to get to that. Because sometimes when I'm reading the Word of God, I'm still concentrating on something else that's moving. This is how you call moving in the Spirit. This is how you call parallel in the Scriptures. This is how you call bringing it together. It don't come through the wisdom of man. It comes through the natural power of the Holy Spirit. He discerns. He declares. He directs. He roots you in the right direction. In other words, he's your GPS system when it comes down to ministering the Word of God. But when we think about this scripture and we begin to reveal what he's saying here, he said that you have not received the spirit of the world. The world spirit and God's spirit are not the same. World wants the things that make them seem up in terms of materialistical points. In other words, they can see the stuff they have. But God is asking us to use supernatural power, to believe beyond the impossibility, that when man seem that it can't be done, God say it can be done. But it takes you to have that what you call laser beam faith, speaking in tongues, praying in your heavenly language, being accurate. As I heard the woman of God tell me over in my Facebook page, Juanita Bynum, she wrote back and she left a strong, powerful word. And she said, look, be accurate in your speech. Be accurate in your spirit. Praying in tongues will zero you in on the target. That when the Holy Ghost begin to move you, he begin to parallel. He begin to move. He begin to change things all around to the point that it'll baffle the mind of man. Now, man depends on the theological situation. But the Word of God says right in the book of 12, in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 2. He said, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. Now notice what he says. It's been freely given to us. And we know right now in the church there's been a lot of peddling. We're living in the last days. We're going to see all kinds of stuff going on. We got men of God who want to come preach in your church for $30,000. If you don't give them $30,000, then they won't come. We got certain singers that come out and say they want to sing your church for X amount of money. If they don't sing for X amount of money, then they won't come. And then we have been slave-minded by dealing with some of the things that go on in the church every day as we walk into the house of God. And what's happening in the body of Christ right now, we begin to deal with what we call boredom. As I heard the woman of God speak on this very powerfully, because when we go in the house of God now, we deal with the same, what we call tradition. We deal with the same routine. We hear that we're opening prayer. We hear the offering tape. We deal with the dance team. We deal with the choir. And then we deal with the minister that's bringing the word forth in the pulpit. And it seems like there's no power and no demonstration, that we don't have what we have, that Catherine Kuhlman type of ministry anymore. We don't have what that old Joe Osteen, his daddy had. The power of deliverance, the power of the reformation, the power of God being revealed in the area, that it's got the ability to come in the harbor and heal. When you see eyes being opened and you see hearts being healed, you see me cancer dropped on the same spot. I mean, I'm talking about some Shambach type stuff. When you see the legs of men begin to grow in front of you. But we are so bored in the house of God today that we're more concerned about the bricks and the mortar more than concerned about the miracles that we come. Every crowd that Jesus ever ministered to, there was some kind of healing, or some kind of powerful move of God, or some kind of powerful move of the wisdom that God spoken to them to teach them things that and why they need to walk or how they need to go. Even in his walk, as he began to go down certain areas in his journey, there was people who calling out to him. Blind Barnum and Bayless called out to him. As he called out to him, the men of God that was around Christ taught to tell him to shush, be quiet. You're making too much noise. But he began to call out the Son of God. He said, can you make me whole? Can you heal me? Jesus began to declare the word, by your faith has made you whole. We see the power of God moving with the man who was lowered down through the roof, who the man came and laid him at the gate called Beautiful. We see it in the book of Acts. I'm talking about some supernatural stuff, that when we go into the house of God, we ought to be thrust in the throne, not to see the dance team, not to take up a tithe and offering, not to hear one man behind the pulpit every day speak about it, even though God gave him a vision. But we ought to understand and realize we come in looking for a miracle. We come in looking for a powerful move of God. And I don't get me wrong when I say these things, because some people wear their heart on their sleeve when I speak something like this. The building is not designed to take you to the kingdom. Yeah, we see in Psalms 133 that it says, how good is it for men to dwell together in unity? But the Bible does declare also, iron does sharpen iron, over in the book of Psalms, that when we come into the house of God, we want to have the testimonies about what the power of God has done in our life, and with the expectation that we bring friends and relatives and family and sick members on cots and whatever it may be, on wheelchairs and walking with canes, that through the power of God, they can be healed through the demonstration and know that if He's done it for them, He can do it for you. Well, let's move forward without any delay for the sake of time. He goes on and says over in the 12th verse once again of 1 Corinthians in the 2nd chapter, now we have not received the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given unto us of God. Some of us don't know the free gifts that have already been given to us. It goes on in the 13th verse, which the things also we speak, not of the word which man's wisdom teaches. We talked about the world book, we talked about the math book, we talked about the history book, but this main book, which is the book of Christ, we don't believe it. We believe every other author, but we don't believe this author, the number one selling book in the world. He said, but he said, which things also that speak it not the things which man's wisdom teaches. I'm talking about you educationists right there. You ones who run behind somebody who covering you. Am I talking about somebody here? He said about the ones who think that when they cover by such a higher name or echelon, that means that they are more better than you are. Well, the word of God does declare you are not thinking of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Even so, the man of God who may ordinate you for the area of just the natural realm, that you may receive the acceptance of the people in the natural realm, but God tells us who He calls, He ordains. I got an ordination on my wall also, but that's just a piece of paper. I believe that when you're called in the power of the Spirit, God will give you the gift and understanding to walk in that knowledge, to walk in that wisdom, to walk in that power, to know that no weapon can be formed against you. He's got the ability to prosper. That even when it seems like you're going through trials and tribulations, God said, I will give you a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego anointed to bring you through everything that the enemy tried to throw at you. Am I talking to anybody this afternoon? Let's go and look at the 14th verse. He breaks it very plain. He said, but a natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are what? Spiritually discerned. He's talking about the corrupted thinking. The corrupted thinking is the educated thinking, not the spiritual thinking. Well, I got a degree from SMU. I got a degree from a certain theological seminary. I done wrote hundreds of books. Well, you know what? You can write all the books you want. Paul didn't write but 3-4 books in the Bible, and he touched more lives than everybody. But what we got in the body of Christ today is people who believe if they brag on what they have, then people will attract to them. But you know what? I'm telling you something. My church is not a great church. It's not a big church. It's not a church of acts, but it's a power in the house of God, that even when we look at the word of God, that Jesus took 15 men and turned the world upside down. I'm going to tell you how powerful that is. He did it with the devil in his back pocket, knowing that everything that Judas Iscariot was doing, that he knew already. But the word of God declares that I'm going to show you what the power of God can do, that even when you got the enemy right there in the camp. We dealt with the subject dealing with the seed of the Jezebel spirit, how to target the Jezebel spirit, how she comes into the house of God, how he speaks in the book of Revelation at the church of Ephesus, how he begins to speak about how they left their first love, how the church of Ephesus started off with such a powerful pop-off in the area of ministry, and now certain teachers came in and certain doctrines came in, and Jezebel was one of them who came in and persuaded the people to go towards the idols or more to God. And God said, one thing I have against you, that you allowed the Jezebel spirit to come in to manipulate the minds of God's people. What we have in the body of Christ today is that we have more education behind the pulpit rather than revelation. And what we try to do, they try to mingle the water with the oil, and they believe that it can blend both ways. And sometimes, and even in my life, when raising the ministry and doing the work of God, I find myself getting too involved in the administrative part and not getting involved in what the people of God need in their life. Am I talking to anybody? What we have to do as man and woman of God is to trust in God and believe that whatever he gives us, that we got to go and get it. We just can't sit still. Yeah, we prayed, but sometimes God does stuff on the run. And I tell you all the time, there's a difference between running the 100-yard dash and running the relay. Meaning that anybody ever did any kind of collegiate sports or high school sports or any kind of professional sports, you know it takes a team to move forward. Well, the word of God does declare and decree that when you walk with him, where there's two or three gathered in the midst, he'll begin to direct your path. He'll lead you in the area you need to lead. Just don't sit there waiting for Ed McMahon to come knock on your door. Get up and move and do what God called you to do. Don't sit still and make for an approval of a man, but through much prayer, you got to realize that even when God delivered the man, when he came off the mountain of transfiguration, the man in the crowd said, "Can you heal my son?" That boy was possessed with a demon. And he didn't understand how his own disciples who walked with him couldn't heal this man from the very ailment that he had. Jesus asked him a question, how long has he been like this? Your word in your life is how long you've been dealing with some of the things in your life. And how the power of God has got the ability to move out everything in your life to the point of letting you know and realize that it's through him that everything and all things are possible. Am I talking to anybody this afternoon? Jeremiah 29, we look at Jeremiah 32 and 17. He says, is there anything too hard for me to do? We talk about people who have injuries in their body, people dealing with sickness and disease. Well, we take that thing to Jeremiah 32 and 27. We look at that God said he created all flesh. Is there anything too hard for him to do? Well, let's move forward and let's look at the last principle that I'm speaking about here over in the book of 1 Corinthians, the second chapter in the 15th verse. But he says in the 15th verse, but he that is spiritual judges all things. Notice what he's saying. He that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of what no man. Now, we can take the Bible, we can take the word of God, and we can swing this thing back over to a very familiar scripture that a lot of people like to use when they're going under torment, when somebody's trying to get them right or tell them about the word of God. The first thing that come out their mouth is, don't you judge me. Well, the word of God says in Matthew 7, judge not that you may be judged. For what you judge, for what judgment you judge, you should be judged. And what measure you meet, it will be measured unto you again. No, he gives you a double. When you criticize somebody else about where they are in the house of God, whether they're bringing them out, and you're looking down upon them as if they're not doing the right work, just remember, the people, I had an old saying sometimes that you got fingers pointing back at you. And that's what it really is, because I don't believe there's nobody as of right now that got all A's on their heavenly report card. The only ones I know that ever made it into the kingdom as of right now is Enoch and Elijah. That means we are still dealing with some things in our life according to Galatians 5 and 16. That's why he said walk in the spirit, that you might fulfill the lust and the desires of the flesh, because these things are fighting. Just because you walk in the house of God and you got your nice hat on, you got your nice shoes on, you sitting in the best seat in the house, just remember, you got your big pen on and everything, but remember, you still got a cracks in your foundation that need constantly be sealed each and every day. That the devil is trying to come at you in such ways to make you feel opposite of what God has promised you to be. And really, when you think about it, you don't have time to point your finger at anybody else. The Bible says you got to work out your own soul in what salvation? Unto God, not unto men, unto God. Now, the word does declare, according to Amos 3 and 7, he said that he don't bring a word into the land unless it's revealed to the prophets. And let me say this. We have true men of God and true ministers of God that's walking in the power and authority of the Holy Spirit. They have declared, they have decreed, and declared things that will come to pass. But I'm telling you, sometimes there are things that's going on in the house of God that people are ministering and preaching for their own gain. They're saying things that don't even line up with what God has called them to do. And what they'll do, they'll go out and speak things or prophesy stuff in your life to make them feel good. And they didn't even come to pass. I heard a woman, a guy on one of her segments begin to say how many people even in the audience can say that their credit score is over 500. Now one of them, I don't know if half of the crowd or half of the church probably raised their hand. Because why? Some people that we have in the house of God and some people that we come into the ministry of God and we go into the building, you can't even put a screen door or cut the grass in your front yard because you're giving everything you have to the church. Why? There's nothing wrong with giving your tithes and offering, but I want you to hear me on this. Don't let the church fleece you and bombard you. I'm a minister and I'm a man of God, and I correct myself in every area. My job as being a man in the house of God is to bring people in the house of God that educate you in the area of business, the area of finances. The Bible said, with all understanding, get wisdom. God will not put financial wealth into your hand if you don't know how to handle it. I don't care how much you pray, how much you know. You know, you got to understand, if you don't have the wisdom of God to handle these things, and if the man who has a vision of the house is not bringing in entrepreneurs who have the ability to teach you about marriage, to teach you about finances, to teach you how to get jobs, to teach you how to fill resumes out properly, to do professional interviews, the churches should be bombarded with the system that's designed for us to be able to take over the world. What are you saying, Pastor Ellis? It don't make sense to you. Well, let me make a plain to you. We can't put all of our money into one building and believe that it's all in one place. We need to build rec centers. We need to build old folk homes. We need to build teen pregnancy program for teens out there to bring them out. People who are drug addicted, you know. And what we see right now, we got men that's building great monuments and structures, but we don't have nothing around them. They bring all this money. They pray to get the land, and then they build these $50 million and $75,000 theaters on these properties. And then when they look around, they drive in their little toys, they walk in the front of the office, and I'm not speaking of anybody nigga, I'm talking about myself also. But I wear these monkey suits, but I don't look at it as being better than anybody else. But when we start reaching out and start doing things outside the building and teaching the people that their business that they have is orchestrated by the power of God, then the wealth of the ministry will come into the church. I like the work that Minister Jake is doing about doing some of the condominium things that's out there in the South Dallas area. I like the work that Bill Winston's doing with the Christian banks. I like the thing that Jerry Falwell is doing. I like some of the things that he did. I like the things that Joe Osteen is doing. But a lot of people look down upon him, because God is saying, because somebody went before him and set the tempo, set the pace, that's why he is where he is. Because his daddy was the anointed man of God. If you knew Brother Osteen before he passed away, the brother didn't play. He was a power-packed, demon-chasing preacher. Like George Bloomer, who's so real about his area in the ministry, but how he fought with things in his life, and how God was still able to bring him through, and yet still fighting with things. And you too, as being men and women of God, are not perfect in your walk with Christ. You're going to have to fight the good fight of faith, and you got to believe and declare and decree that in your life, that God has got the ability to bring you through everything. And once he brings you through, and my oldest brother said, when you're going in the fire or you're going in the storm, you're coming out of the storm, somebody else is going in the storm. So when you're dealing with this life that we live, we're constantly bombarded by ups, downs, cliques, clubs, titles, positions. And we find ourselves being transformed and changed and whipped around. But our mind and our heart has got to stay settled, even though our bodies are tossed. But our heart has got to stay in the same place what God is designed to do. Remember, your heart is the sack of your soul. And it's the word of God that leads you in all directions. It guides you according to Proverbs 3:5. It gives you the ability according to Jeremiah 29. It's a promise to God that he said that he will not hold nothing from you. No good thing did hold from those who walk upright. Well, I'm going to look at the 16th verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I want to run this off right here. It says, for who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. In other words, when you think about the scripture, you look at the power that's in the scripture, it talks about how can you teach somebody who's a teacher? In other words, how are you going to make a mold that's already been molded? God already created you. He already knew who you was going to be. He designed you and engineered you to be that beacon system, according to Jeremiah 1:5, before our form, before he knew you, before you was even knitted in the womb. He knew the plans and the thoughts that he had for you, and he said it was good and not of evil. So even when you're dealing with havoc in your life, that even when you're going through things in your life, you got to understand that the plan that God has for your life is more than what you can see. It's beyond your own imagination. It takes you beyond the area where he takes you beyond the area and what you're just looking in the natural form. I call it people trapped in the parallel vision. You keep looking at what's around you, so you look at the parallel rather than looking at the vertical. You know, you got to raise your head up, walk up, and be, believe that when you're going through things, God is taking you through a fire for a reason. He cleanses you. He evicts you in things. He convicts things against you, not to hurt you, but to help you. Because a lot of things we hear all the time, the devil's doing this, the devil's doing that. Sometimes the devil ain't doing nothing. It's you. You know, he's dealing with it. Sometimes God calls affliction, them Jobs to come upon you. That struggle that Job had to. You know what? That it wasn't that God didn't love Job. He said, no, he bragged on Job. No, test my servant. He asked Satan. Satan couldn't find nobody to jump on. And he said, matter of fact, he probably found a few people to jump on. But the word of God declared, and he said, Satan, what goeth thou? And Satan gave him the very request that he does each and every day in all of our lives. He said, I'm going up and down and to and forth. I'm seeking who I might devour. That was his word. And the word of God came from the Lord and said, look, have you tried my servant Job? You want to be a person that's tried by the fire. That when you come through, you'll come like pure gold. That God will bless you with abundance. Not for what man says, but what for the kingdom says. Learn how to use your heavenly language. Learn how to speak in tongues. Learn how to get accurate in the spirit. And know that when you declare a word, as Sister Juanita Binding had told me, she said, you got to be accurate, Pastor Ellis. You got to be accurate in the word. You got to use your heavenly language. You got to zero in on the target. And you can be more accurate when you understand that you're connecting with God from a spiritual standpoint of view. With this word, as we close out the subject on today, dealing with the power within you, this is some quick things to give you to get you to understand that God has already delivered you from every negativity in your life. But you're going to have to believe and trust God and know that through him, everything and all things are possible. I'm not talking to anybody. My word that I leave with you today, as I say all the time, is always a word of salvation. But before I bring the word of salvation, I want to show you something here in Psalms 91. The Bible declares that he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. Notice what he's saying, the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. This is what he's saying. This is very powerful. And we can read it every day and take it, but you got to see what he's saying. That the refuge in my fortress. I mean, he's got a hedge around you. My God and what I trust. Whenever the storms of life come against you, he got the hedge. He's got a fortress around you. He done built a fort around you. He's got the power of the Spirit all around you, that no weapon can come against you. No enemy can touch you. He says, surely he should deliver you from the snares of what the fowlers and from the noosed Palestine, every sickness and every disease that ever encountered your life, ever encountered your household, God has given you the ability to be covered. He said he should cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you should trust. His wings thou should trust. His truth should be your shield and your buckler. I'm telling you, that's Ephesians 6 right there. Put on the whole armor. He says in the 5th verse that thou should not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrows that flyeth by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that waits at noonday. The enemy can say everything he want about you. The people from afar above can shoot darts at you everywhere, even your family. Yeah, whatever you're doing in the body of Christ, am I talking to somebody? That when they come against you, they shoot stuff from all across the nation on you and try to condemn you and bring you down. But God is saying, if you trust in me, I'll bring every one of your enemies to shame. Read what it says in 2 Corinthians when they came against Jehoshaphat. Read what the Word of God, what he said to the Word of God over in 2 Chronicles 21 and 6. He talks about, are you not the God in heaven? When an invasion came against them, just the children of Israel, how he knocked down every one of the heathens. Am I talking to somebody? Every one of the things that was ever proclaimed against them, every negative mindset that ever tried to hold you back, you got the ability, according to this scripture, this verse, to know that God will not fail you. He goes on and says over in the 7th verse of Psalms 91, he said, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. Look at it, but it should not come near thee. Only with our eyes should behold and see the rewards of the wicked. God will knock out every one of your enemies, according to Malachi 1 and 5. They can't touch you, because I have made the Lord, which is my refuge. When you put him before you, you're inside a big old 57 Buick. My daddy had one of them big old 57 Buick wing rides. Now, that big old boy had some chrome on it, a solid cast iron. I remember my brother was driving and hit a tree. I think it knocked the tree down before it knocked the car out of the box. But that's when you're driving in something protected. That when the enemy hits you and try to put you in an accident, God said you shield. You got one of those all states coverings on you. That when anything happens to you, you got the pip of the Holy Spirit on you. That you can claim retribution. You can claim everything that the enemies came against you, that God will fight for you in your behalf. He says on the 10th verse that no evil will befall you. Neither shall any plague come near but your dwelling. Your household is protected. Your finances are protected. Your health is protected. Am I talking to somebody? Your relationship is protected. And through the power and the word of God, nothing can come against you. He said, well, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep you in all thy way. That shall bear thee up in thy hand. Lest thou dash thy foot against the stone when you trip and stumble in your life that we're dealing with. You don't have to worry because God got you. He got you. Baby, he got you. I'm telling you. When it looks like the storm begin to come against you, the storms of demarcation, the wind pressures begin to come and cause things to form against you, and it creates a tornado. You got to understand the one thing. The tornado got power, but God got more power. Am I speaking to anybody this afternoon? That's a tread up on the lion, in the adder. That's adder. Anything that come against you, any lion, any beast of burden in the spirit form. I don't care what it is. They come against you. You got the ability to shut it down. The lung yanger in the dragon should I trample under my feet. The power of God says that the word that you have is already in you, so you got the ability to call things that be not though if they were, according to Ephesians 4 and 17. You can put the devil and everything he do up under your feet. I heard a man of God, a prophet, an apostle out of Arlington, Texas, say that where the devil belongs under the soles of my shoes, under the soles of my feet, and that's where he belongs. But he can't be there without the wisdom that God has instructed you, to teach you, to guide you through all health and all truth. Am I talking to somebody? It says in the 14th verse that he has set me up. He has set his love upon me. Therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. I shall call upon him, and he will answer. And he got to answer you. I will call upon. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life, will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I'm talking about that is a powerful word. When you can get up every morning, memorize that scripture by heart, and you can say it 7 or 8 times throughout the day, I'm telling you, man and woman of God, the power of God, when he begin to move, he'll show you who we are and who you belong to. In other words, I hear the people say, he'll show you who you are and whose you are, who he is and who you belong to. That the enemy can't come against you. The Bible says no weapon can be formed against you. Nothing's got the ability to prosper. Well, I thank God for each and every one of you for joining me here at Harvest, at the Power of the Harvest radio station. As always, it's always a pleasure to be online with you, to bring something to you to help start your Monday off with a blast, to knock the enemy clean on his back, to give him a black eye. When you get up, you punch him right in the face. When your feet touch down and hit the ground in the morning, you thank God for his mercy and grace. He allowed you to sleep and slumber through the night with no enemy coming against you. Am I talking to anybody? The word of salvation, for those who want the word of salvation, for those who are on the line, all you have to do is call into the studio. If you want to receive a word of prayer or a word of salvation or a word of deliverance, we will welcome to do that for you right now. The studio number is 347-637-1074. As we're about to pray and we're about to bring forth the word of salvation, as you repeat after me, for those who want to receive Christ, it's very simple. It's very simple for those who want to receive Christ. There's nothing hard at all when you're talking about walking in the power and the revelation of God. We make it seem so hard because why? We make it hard because there's something so simple that he gives us. And when he gives it to us, he shows us what we need to do and how we need to get to it. So as I said before, for those of you who want to call in, we got about 10 more minutes on the show. For those who want to call in and say, look, Pastor, pray for me. You know, I got some stuff that's going on. If you don't raise your hand in the classroom, you won't get an answer. But am I talking to somebody? And you got to believe that when you call into the studio, even if you want to be anonymous, you can put it on the chat line. I mean, whatever you are, I'm not going to call you out anyway. All I see is hear your voice. Nobody needs to know who you are. But one thing I can tell you, when you see the word of salvation, God is beginning to work in your life. The word of God decrees and it declares, and it speaks over in the book of Romans. As we go to the book of Romans, I want to read something to you here as we profess this word in the closing of the minutes of the show. I want you to take it to Romans 10. I want you to take it 10. I want you to go to 8 and 9. The word of God decrees like this. He says that we're starting the word of salvation. For those who want to receive salvation. He says it like this, Romans 10:8-9. But what saith it? That the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, the word of faith which we preach. Notice what it says in the ninth verse. That if thou confess that word, that confess with thy mouth, your own mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shall, he didn't say you might, he said thou shall what? Be saved. Am I talking to somebody? He says in the 10th verse, for with the heart a man believeth. He's talking about your belief system, that he's in you, the power's in you. The word of God decrees greater than he that's in you than what? Than he that in the world. So we believe God. We trust God. We know that he's a deliverer in the name of Jesus. The word decrees, for with the heart a man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto what? Salvation. For the scripture saith, so whosoever believeth on him should not be ashamed. God will by no means bring you to any kind of shame. His job and his will for you is to deliver you. His job and his will is to bring you into what? All truth. That when you understand that through him all things are possible, then your way has already been made. Am I talking to somebody? Because this is what you have to believe when you're understanding the word of God. Your requests have to be made with your own mouth. You got to believe the word of salvation. So as I begin to speak this word to you, I want you to repeat loudly after me. And it says it like this. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I repent for all my sins. I open my heart to let Jesus come inside of me. Jesus, come on somebody, you are my Lord and my Savior. I believe you died for my sins and you were raised from the dead. Look, fill me with your Holy Spirit. That's the GPS system. That's the guidance. That even when it seems like things are not going right in your life, he said, fill me. Ask him to fill you with the Holy Spirit, to speak in the tongue, the power to receive not just the baptism of water, but the power of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for saving me. Thank him when he give it to you. Thank the Father for saving you. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a very short but impact prayer. And that's all you really need to hear what the Word of God has to say for you in your life. It don't take a whole lot of. You don't have to get a big vein in your forehead and a big vein in your neck. Just talk to God. Now, when you receive that word, if you are a true man and woman of God, you receive that word of God. You don't direct the people or the sinners to the aisles in the church building. The message of God is preached, and it's filled with the invitation for all men, every walk of color and every walk of shape, to be saved. You just ain't got to go to the church to be saved. But it comes to the point you got to start living your life as being a Christian. Those of you who have households, have family, start taking authority over your household. Start bringing your family together and praying. Start getting these instructional teachings that we have on here on the Power of the Harvest radio station. That we will get some stuff that you can take it back to your family, that you can chew on it, that you can dwell on it, hear what the Word of God has to say in your spirit. Father God, I thank you for this word. I thank you for this time of sharing with your people in the name of Jesus. I declare and decree that even as we speak about every sickness, every disease, every financial problem, Lord, every situation that goes in the life of your people, Lord, we loose it right now in the name of Jesus. We declare and we decree. We decree and we declare. We call it in existence that the power of the revelation of the Holy Spirit will fall upon them right now. Father God, I come against every form of thyroid, every form of ovarian cancer in the name of Jesus. I come against every form of breast cancer. I come against every brain tumor, every form of eye problem in the name of Jesus. I come against every form of back pain. I loose every knee joint problem in the name of Jesus. I declare the word of God about the power of the Spirit that they be delivered, Father God, that even in their finances, Father God, you begin to break the back of lack. Everybody that is lacking, Father God, whether it be jobs, whether it be promotions, Father God, whether it be anything that you have given us pertaining to the word of God over 2 Peter 1 and 3, that you have gave us every year, Bansy. Lord, manifest that word right now into their lives. That as you manifest it into their lives, they will receive the engrafted power and authority of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I command this word to go forth. I decree that it would not come back void. I come against every form of diabetes in the name of Jesus. I shut down every form and every fashion of the enemy in the household. I decree the word of God that your spirit will move up and down and all around, that it will begin to convict, it will begin to arrest, it will begin to shut down every negative thing that's not like God. Lord, I bleed the blood right now in the name of Jesus. And I decree the plan that in the life of every individual that you created in your own image will receive the engrafted power of the revelation and the revelatorial knowledge of the Holy Ghost, that they have the ability to speak and declare and decree and call things in their life they be not though if they were, Lord. I pray for every corporation, Lord, that's under the very demonic pressure of the enemy, Father God. I command it to be loosed right now. I speak authoritative word. I loose the heavens right now, that every judgment against every man and every woman of God and every part of every corporation has got to be, I command that business will thrive in the name of Jesus. I declare by the word of God that ministries will take off and begin to reach outside the walls of the ministries, Father God, and begin to go into the neighborhood, Father God, and bring an Acts 4 into the house of God, and bring an Acts 4 into the community, that there they went from house to house, and they begin to proclaim the word of God, Father God, and they begin to grow in record numbers. They receive the salvation of the power of the Holy Spirit. I command that every ministry that's struggling, every man of God that's struggling with an issue, Father God, that you proclaim it according to the power of the Spirit, that we come together not for boasting or anything in terms of being better than anybody else, but we come together for unity to be as one. Lord, I decree this word, I declare it, I speak, I plead the blood in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I call it being done. I prophesy the word on the life of every individual who's struggling, whether it be health or whatever it may be, Father God. We break the back of lack, Lord. We lay the axe at every root that ever tries to hold them back on what you declare for them to be. Father God, these things we ask are not of ourselves, but the power of the Most High God. In the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I call it been done. I sign and seal it and put it into the third heavens to go forth, and it will not come back void. These things we ask are not of ourselves, but the power of the Most High God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I thank you for joining me here at Harvest New Life Church, along with our radio station, which is Power of the Harvest. Get a chance to go to our website, check us out. There's going to be some new things getting ready to happen here at the Harvest New Life Church here in the city of Dallas. We're going to get ready to go to a live broadcast. We're not going to be on the media. We're going to get the audio in the media, audio in media at the same time. But you'll be able to see me and the woman God live, like a TBN setting. The studio is already designed. The studio is already set up. We're getting ready to move forward. Our show will be changing. We won't be coming to you on Monday nights. We'll be coming to you on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So we want you to check your calendar for listings and time. Go to the website as we change that information over, that you'll continue to join us in this very powerful pack segments that we've been bringing in the body of Christ. We're not doing it for any personal gain, but we're doing it through the power of the Spirit. We ask each and every one of you to continue to pray for us as we pray for you. And I leave with the word, as God has always said, you know, he's God. And he reigns forever.